Welcome to our first human geography departmental research seminar of this term, and it's a real pleasure for me to be able to introduce Stuart Eldon as our speaker today. Stuart is Professor of Political Theory and Geography at Warwick University, as well as a Monash Warwick Professor who does a visiting stint at Monash University in Melbourne as well, but also he's a visiting senior research fellow here at UCL's Institute of Advanced Study as well. So he's around this year, this academic year, which is great for us. Before going to Warwick University, Stuart was based at Durham University for 11 years. And of course, Stuart's work is well known to many of us in this room. He's the author of 5 books, currently, including his 2013 book on the birth of territory from Chicago University Press, and also prior to that, Terror and Territory, published in 2009 with Minnesota University Press. He's also the editor and co-editor of 8 books, I believe, currently.
And
one
thing.
Many of which have been on or translations of philosophers and social theorists such as Henri Lefebvre, Kant, Foucault, and Sloterdijk. And Stuart's currently also working on 3 book projects, I believe. One on territory in Shakespeare's writings, on which he presented at the IAS just last term, and another 2 on, firstly on Foucault's last decade, and secondly on the birth of power. And I believe it's from this second book project that Stuart's going to be talking today. And it's a project that's concerned with Foucault's work on prisons, asylums, and health. So Stuart's title today is Foucault and the Politics of Health, Collaborative Research and Activism. So I'll hand over to Stuart now.
Yeah, thank you very much for inviting me. I'm grateful to the IAS for hosting me. I'm going to sit, if that's okay, rather than stand. And I'm going to talk rather than read a paper. And it's drawing from chapter 6 of this second book on Foucault that I've been working on. This book, Foucault's Last Decade, should be out around April. And it's a book that begins in 1974 and traces Foucault's history of sexuality, largely, from its initial inception. There's a story that Foucault began writing The History of Sexuality, Volume 1, on the same day that he finished writing Discipline and Punish. Nothing like taking an evening off or anything. So we can therefore date the beginning of the book quite precisely to the 26th of August, 1974, and Foucault died on the 25th of June, 1984, which is the last decade that I'm talking about. And in the writing of that book, initially I had an opening chapter which became 2 chapters, which became far too long for the book as it was conceived, which was basically setting the scene for where was Foucault in 1974. And it was looking at the early Collège de France courses, and it was trying to trace how Foucault got to the point where he could begin this project on the history of sexuality. I went back to Polity Press, who were publishing the book, and said, how about we renegotiate the word limit up from 90,000 words to 150,000 words? And they said no, and we ended up with me writing a second book. I took those first 2 long chapters out, I've split them each into 3, and that's formed the 6 chapters of the draft manuscript I have of this book. It's actually called Foucault The Birth of Power, but this is just a mock-up of the cover for this. And the idea is that the 2 books together work chronologically, one tracing the period from roughly 1969 to 1974, and then one 1974 to 1984. But the idea is that the 2 books as a pair show both Foucault the scholar and Foucault the activist, and that's the idea of the work. The activist work is particularly strong in this the earlier chronological book, The Birth of Power, which is I'm going to draw on in today's talk. So if we give this is probably going to be the hardest one to read, but after this everything should be more legible. I just couldn't fit it on in any larger size. A timeline of Foucault's work from 1969 to 1984 and his death. And if we look at the books that Foucault published in his lifetime, the single-authored books that he published in his lifetime, from The Archaeology of Knowledge to Discipline and Punish, History of Sexuality 1, and then History of Sexuality 2, 3, in May and June of 1984, very shortly before Foucault died. Now, in 1994, a French collection, Dear Cri, was published, which collected all of the writings that had been published in Foucault's lifetime in an authorised form. But it also included a number of texts that were not initially published in French. So there were a number of texts that had only previously been published in Spanish, in Portuguese, in Japanese, in German, and some in English. And they translated most of these back into French for this edition because the originals were seen as unpublished. This was when they were strictly adhering to Foucault's wish that there should be no posthumous publications. So the line with this collection in 1994 was that this was a posthumous collection, but not a set of posthumous publications. It was simply bringing everything together. Now, in English, we've long had collections of Foucault's writings from, say, Power Knowledge or Foucault Live or so on. In French, there was no previous collection of Foucault's short writings. So Dear Cri, which in its original French edition was four volumes of about 900 pages each, 364 texts arranged chronologically, really filled in those gaps between the books that Foucault had produced over this period and obviously back into the 1960s, 50s, when he first started publishing. So for me, this was a really important book in disrupting some of the straightforward ways that Foucault's work was periodized. It showed very clearly to me that the continuity of a lot of concerns, the development of particular claims that he was making, and so on. From 1997 onwards, they've been publishing Foucault's lecture courses at the Collège de France and a few courses from elsewhere. And now all of those 13 Collège de France lecture courses, from Lectures on the Will to Know through to The Courage of Truth, all of them have been published in French. Two have not yet been published in English translation. But those courses give another sense of a kind of chronology that was running alongside the publications that Foucault was producing. And there's a connection between them in different ways, some of which I might talk about, and certainly we can talk about in discussion. There were some other lecture courses which have been published from other places. This is the bottom line here, the Truth and Juridical Forms lectures from 1973 in Rio, the Rio lectures on medicine from 1974, the Wrongdoing Truth-Telling lectures from Levant in Belgium in 1981, Technologies of the Self from Vermont in 1982, and then Fearless Speech, the lectures on Parisia from 1983 in Berkeley. And many other individual lectures have been published, but these are the main lecture courses. The next stage of Foucault's posthumous publications are going to be the pre-Collège de France lecture courses, the ones that they have from his time at Vincennes, at Tunisia, from Clermont-Ferrand, from Lille, and so on. There are also, though, a number of books which are really neglected, I think, particularly in English language debate about Foucault, which are the collective and the collaborative work of the edited collections that he produced in this period. And that's largely what I'm going to talk about today. So from the Pierre Riviere collection, which is one of the best known of these, to a book called The Equipments of Power, which I'll say much more about in a moment, to work on the hospital, to the Herculean Barbin memoir, the memoirs of a hermaphrodite that Foucault edited, through to the last, which you probably can't see, the last of these in 1982, a book on family disorder that he co-authored with the historian Alec Farge. It's the one authored book by Foucault that is not yet in English translation, but it is apparently coming out with the University of Minnesota Press. So those are the other works, the collective, the collaborative, the edited works, which I'm going to concentrate on today. And then the other thing to sort of add in is these different layers of evidence that we have are Foucault's political activism with the prison information group and with particularly the group I'm going to talk about today, the health information group, in the early 1970s. So all of these different sources of material, from what Foucault published in his own lifetime to what's been collected afterwards, to the transcription of his lecture courses, to these other reports and writings, and then the political activism. But there's also the archive, and there's a lot of material now available to people working on Foucault in a variety of archives. The last of these, which I use extensively in the Foucault's Last Decade book, but not in The Birth of Power because of the dates of the material, is the material that's archived in Berkeley in the Bancroft Library. Foucault gave his first lecture in Berkeley in 1975, and the material that they have covers the 1975 to 1984 period. There's a lot of material to go through there, including a number of tapes, many of which have not yet been transcribed or published. There's also the material in the Bibliothèque Nationale in Paris There are two separate collections. One has been available for many years and very few people seem to have used it, and now there's another newer, much more extensive collection. The material that's been available for years, five boxes that comprise an early draft of the Archaeology of Knowledge, a handwritten manuscript, and then successive draft versions of all of the material that goes into the History of Sexuality, Volume 2 and 3, several drafts of each section. And those have been available for a long time. I used the History of Sexuality 2 and 3 drafts very extensively in Foucault's last decade. The other collection, which is much more extensive, that earlier one is five boxes. The new one is 110 boxes of material, 37,000 pages of notes. And these are Foucault's drafts for his books, those that were kept. They are the material that he used for his lecture courses. They're the material that he used for visiting lectures elsewhere, and there are the reading notes that he took in preparation for all of that work. Now, of those 110 boxes, to date, only about 40 are available to researchers because they're keeping back things that they think they might be able to publish. What they've got in the material that is available is largely Foucault's preparatory reading notes, which is what I've been working through in a number of visits to Paris over the last year or so. And then the other collection is, which I'll say a little bit more about later, is at the IMEC Institute, which is now based just outside of Caen in Normandy, in a converted abbey, which is a contemporary archive, which has a number of people. All of Derrida's seminars are there, for example. And that has a collection related both to Foucault's work, but also to the prison information group that he was working with. And what you find, particularly in the Bibliothèque Nationale, is what you can see in the foreground of this picture, these files. Those are the files now that I've been able to read, to work through, and to look at what Foucault was producing in there. Foucault was writing my notes largely in the Bibliothèque Nationale. I'm actually using the same reading room that he wrote most of these notes in, which is kind of a nice connection. But that Foucault's notes in preparation for the work that he was doing are now pretty much all available there. What isn't available are the lecture courses that have not yet been published and other material that might be published. And so these are what the files look like when you actually look at them on the desk. You're not allowed to take photographs of the pages, but this one is available online. This is from Foucault's preparatory reading notes to The Order of Things. It's on Kant's Different Human Races essay from 1775. And this is one of the neatest pages I've ever seen in Foucault's handwriting. It's one of the things that's causing me a lot of difficulty is how bad his handwriting is. Of course, he was writing the majority of these notes simply for himself. These were reading notes in preparation for what he was going to write. But there are, with the History of Sexuality 2 and 3, annotated pages he'd given to Collège de France typists that come back with lots and lots of question marks all over them. So even the typists at the time couldn't read his handwriting. So I have at least shared sympathy for the position that they were in terms of working through this material. I've also done a few interviews. This is Daniel Defer, Foucault's partner, who inherited Foucault's apartment and all of the material that was in there. He was the one who sold all this material to the Bibliothèque Nationale. And those bookshelves that are in many of the photographs of Foucault are still there, although many of them now are filled with books about Foucault and by Foucault rather than the research that Foucault was doing himself. And so I've used that to try and fill in some of the details about the questions and issues that I'm interested in thinking about. What I'm going to talk about today, then, is specifically related to the question of medicine or health in Foucault. Now, Foucault wrote a book published in 1963 called The Birth of the Clinic. And in that book, he suggests that there are three ways that we can think about space in relation to medicine. And Chris Philo wrote a piece a few years ago suggesting that Birth of the Clinic was a neglected work of medical geography, for example. And the three forms of spatialization that Foucault talks about in the book, he largely concentrates on the first two: the scientific location of a disease within taxonomies, nosology, and the second is the location of the disease in the physical body, in the organs of the body, the injunction to open up some bodies, and that this would be an advance. Foucault looks at these two models of the codification and the knowledge and the physical location in the body as being the birth of the clinic, both the institution of the clinic and clinical medicine more generally. But he hints at a third form of spatialization, which he doesn't say a great deal about in the book, but I'm going to suggest is what he continues to work on through into the 1970s. This is the way that diseases and health more generally are located within society, the way that in a given society a disease is circumscribed, medically invested, isolated, divided up into closed privileged regions, or distributed through cure centres arranged in the most favourable way. And it's that third form of taking it out of the institution of the clinic, the hospital, and into the wider society that I think is Foucault's key concern in the 1970s when he returns to some of these questions about health. Now, in that French collection, Die Écrit, and in three different locations in English translation, are the 1974 lectures that Foucault gave on medicine in Rio. These were lectures that were initially published in Portuguese, then in Spanish translation, and were translated into French for Die Écrit. There are stories that he gave many more lectures on this trip, and there are some archival traces of some of those other lectures. But these are the key lectures that we have of what Foucault was talking about on medicine at that time, in 1974. And what's interesting, it seems to me, about those lectures is this is where you find a development over a number of key claims or themes in Foucault's work, and sometimes the first public pronouncement of some of those key themes. So, for example, these are the first place that Foucault talks about the question of biopolitics, which is obviously a theme that he develops in later 1970s lectures, but this is one of the key places where these themes are developed. The relation of medicine to sexuality is first, I think, anticipated in explicit form in these lectures, and a number of other themes that are developed in them. But what's interesting with these lectures, and this is actually different from most of Foucault's other lectures, is that he doesn't seem to have first delivered this material in Paris. What he usually seemed to do, his standard practice, was to give his very intensive research lectures in Paris at the beginning of the year, usually between January and March, and then take some of that material with him when he went as a visiting speaker to other places or as a visiting professor, particularly in the later years when he was in Berkeley, for example. With this, though, Foucault doesn't seem to have drawn on anything that he had previously delivered in Paris. What I think he is actually doing is he's delivering material that was first developed in his Collège de France seminar rather than his Collège de France lectures. When Foucault was appointed to the Collège de France, it was something like 26 hours of lectures or classes that he had to give a year, of which no more than half could be seminars. And for the first 10 years that Foucault was at the Collège de France, he gave half of them as seminars and half of them as lectures. So it's usually 13 lectures in a course, and he would run a parallel seminar alongside that. In the last few years, though, he cancelled the seminar and gave double the amount of lectures for the classes. Now, the seminars we know much less about. There are stories that there were tape recordings of some of those seminars, but none of those are listed in any of the archives that I've come across. Nobody seems to know what might have happened to these. So it's very difficult to find out actually what went on in those seminars. But what I've been able to discover so far is that in some of this material was developed in this seminar and it was connected to a number of other research projects. That's largely what I'm going to try and talk to you about today. We know much more about what happened in the first few seminars. Foucault was interested in what he called medical legal expertise in relation to criminal cases. And in the first of the Collège de France seminars, they worked on a number of cases, of which one they discovered was the case of Pierre Rivière. This was a Normandy peasant young man, about 18 years old, who had killed almost his entire family, but then had left a very detailed memoir of what he had done in that case. Foucault and his colleagues found the entirety of this memoir. They published that. They published all of the case material that was related to it, doctor's reports, the legal proceedings and so on, and a number of commentaries on that. And that took them the first few years of the seminar to discover the case, to work on it, and then to prepare the dossier of material for publication. They actually discovered some other cases in the first year, which one of Foucault's colleagues in the seminar published, and then Foucault used those cases in some of his later lecture courses, the abnormals course for some. So these seminars were preparatory to some of the material he used in the lecture courses. The fourth of his Collège de France seminars, this runs in parallel with the psychiatric power course, was on the hospital, the 18th century hospital architecture, and a continuation of this interest in medical legal expertise in these cases. And some of the material from that 74 seminar is in the Bibliothèque Nationale, so I've been able to piece together a bit more of the story around what happens there. And there are also a number of publications that came out of that work, most of which are very difficult to find these days. They're out of print. You can find them in second-hand bookstores reasonably easily, and the internet certainly makes that a lot easier than it was. But these were a number of reports, publications, journal issues that are collaborative work of which Foucault often has a role, but he's clearly not the only person that is producing the work for these. Now, one of the first things that comes from this is actually working in collaboration with Félix Guattari and the CERFI Research Institute that Guattari set up at his Laborde clinic. And the house journal of Guattari's Serfi group was called Recherche. And in 1973, they published a volume which was titled Les Equipements de Pouvoir. The equipments of power would be a literal translation, but equipment kind of public utilities or public amenities, things that are shared collectively that enable certain things like a town to actually function. They're interested in interrogating some of those questions. And that has a number of separately authored pieces and some discussions, of which Foucault is one of the participants in that volume. It was followed by a piece that was entirely written by François Fourquet. It was supposed to be a piece in the initial issue, but it came far too long, and so had to be published as a journal issue on its own. But in this work, Foucault and these people are talking about a number of themes that will be developed in his own work, both individually and collectively, over the next several years. They're interested in, as I said, not just what we might understand by public utilities, so gas, electric, and so on, water. They're also interested in the town itself as a collective utility, something that enables things. They're interested in transportation networks. They're interested in what they call the question of territory, which is more like spatial planning, really, in a French context. They're talking about these in terms of the way that we might understand these. And again, this is moving away from the institution to the things that perhaps connect and enable those institutions in those questions. Both of those journal issues were then later published as much cheaper, wider circulation books in 1976. And what's interesting in these is both the work that is being done by people other than Foucault, but also the way that they're engaging with Foucault. Some of that is using Foucault's earlier writings, The History of Madness, Birth of the Clinic, and using that as a kind of theoretical frame to actually engage with and think about those questions. But there's a number of things that they bring up in these, which date from 1972-73, that are not yet in Foucault's own publications. So they talk about the panopticon, before Foucault ever talks about the panopticon. They talk about the relation of the state and production to questions of power and territory. So there are issues about how you might re-engage with this work in a Marxist framework that is not so clear in Foucault's publications. It's much clearer in Foucault's lecture courses from this time, but it's not so clear in Foucault's publications. And one of the things that they talk about is how the hospital serves a particular purpose within capitalist society. It's to maintain the healthy bodies that are needed by the capitalist machine for people to go and work in the factories and so on. And that comes through very clearly in Foucault's lecture courses. Any of you have read the Punitive Society course, for example, it's a much more explicitly Marxist text than Discipline and Punish, but it's not there in Foucault's publications very much of that time. Now, they use this work here to really trial some ideas that they then wanted to put into practice in much more specific case study material. And they got a lot of money from the French state to do this. I mean, it's just the idea that Foucault, Guattari, and Deleuze could get a lot of money from the French state to do their work seems kind of strange today. But they got close to £1 million for this material. My calculation of what this would be worth roughly today is about 800,000 euros. Now, that's enough to maintain a small research team for some time to actually do this work. And the material that's archived in the IMEC archive gives a sense of the range of projects that they intended to do and who was going to lead this, whether it was François Fourquet, Félix Guattari, Deleuze, or Foucault. Now, most of these here, there are traces of what was actually done under those themes. The only one, sadly, that doesn't seem to have been done is the urban one by Foucault, although it seems to have been taken over by another colleague, Bruno Fortier, and a project, I'll mention this in a moment, but a book came out of that work around those themes. Now, I mentioned the abbey where all this material is converted. You stay in the old monks' dormitories, you eat in the refectory and so on, but they've converted the abbey into this absolutely glorious reading room, which has got all of this material archived in it. It's a fantastic place to go and work and just has this rich material that can, I think, fill in quite a lot of detail behind what Foucault was doing in his major writings. So of the reports that come out of the fifth theme, this is the idea of the equipments of normalisation, of the procedures of normalisation and the things that enable that. There are a number of volumes, initially as reports, and some of them then published subsequently as more formal books. One on the primary school, one on kind of national statistics and calculation. And the other one that Foucault edited on sanitary equipments or health equipments, these utilities that enable health, both the hospital but also public health in the wider society. And this report is interesting because there's a big text in there that has never been published anywhere else since that time. There's an essay in the first part, only the first part of this volume is really related to Foucault. In that first part, there's an essay which, if you know the Power Knowledge collection, The Politics of Health in the 18th Century, is a text that's reasonably well known in English. But the rest of that first third of this report is an unsigned text which looks at a number of themes, and it's never been published anywhere else. It's only in this single report can you actually find that text. But it includes a lot of material on hospitals, on illness, on public health, on urban space, on public utilities and how these might connect to these kinds of questions and so on. And it seems to me that Foucault had at least a hand in writing this unsigned text. I'm not claiming that he was the sole author. I don't think he was even the principal author. But there are traces, it seems to me, that this was clearly a research team led by Foucault that had produced this work. And this, in a sense, is how the Cerfi work with Guattari's team and the Collège de France connect up. Foucault used his Collège de France seminar to do some of the work that fed into this publication. It was actually published in 1976, but the material dates, I think, from 1974 that went into it. They're interested in those architectural concerns about the hospital. They're interested in questions of surveillance. And Foucault actually says in a later interview that he discovered Bentham's Panopticon not when he was doing work on prisons, but when he was doing work on the hospital. And it was because the Panopticon was never intended solely to be a prison. It was intended to be anything that where you needed to have that ability to constantly survey. It would work as well for a school or for a factory or for a hospital as it would for a penitentiary. And Foucault says this is where he discovered it, and the archival traces, lots of material, lots of architectural drawings and diagrams and so on that is found in connection to that material. And what you have in this that I think is interesting is this idea that the body and the body of medicine is not simply the individual body, although that's clearly very important, but it's also the collective body of population. And this is where he shifts from clinical medicine to public health in terms of the concerns around this. Now, this is where the politics of Parisian space is led by Bruno Fortier and many of the people that were in Foucault's Collège de France seminar, is where I think that supposedly Foucault-led project on urban planning and urban space ends up. But these two books together provide material that then goes into a much more formal publication, which came out with the Institute of Environment in 1976. There was a second edition of that in 1979, and these are very different texts. It's not just a simple revision of that. Just very quickly, the 1976 edition reprints Foucault's text on the politics of health in the 18th century, but has a number of other texts by people in his seminar about the hospital and about this idea that they use in the title of the collection, that the hospital is a curing machine, that the hospital is not simply the place where a disease is cured. It's not simply a location, but it is through its architectural planning, through the way that things circulate within the hospital, the organisation of space as to where you put people with different types of disease, the way that water, air, clean laundry and so on circulate within the space of the hospital, the records that are kept and the data that is collected on patients and then how this can be analysed, these are things that contribute to the cure in itself, that the hospital is a machine that cures. And this notion is very important in that text. When it comes to the 1979 edition, all of the essays are revised except for Bruno Fortier, who contributes an entirely separate piece to that collection. So these are very different collections. Foucault's Politics of Health in the 18th Century is extensively revised in this 1979 edition, and that's only the English translation of that has only recently appeared in Foucault's studies. And it seems that in part this is revised in the light of some of the work that Foucault was doing in his Collège de France lectures, the governmentality lectures of security, territory, population, and so on. So this work is a continual process of revision as it goes into the later edition. I'm not going to say very much about this, but there was a final book that comes out of all of this work, again edited by Foucault, on this notion of habitat. There's no text signed by Foucault in there, but there's a brief foreword, which I think Foucault had at least a hand in writing for this text. But it's billed as under the direction of Foucault. This is Foucault's seminar. This is work done by people that are working with him on this kind of collective and collaborative work. And there's a lot of very rich empirical detail in these other studies that are going on there under his leadership or under his guidance, and that his name is there to support this work. But all of this seems to me to illustrate that third theme from the birth of the clinic of how medicine extends beyond the institution of the hospital into the wider social setting. So work on cholera epidemics, for example. And then in the Rio lectures in 1974, Foucault seems to synthesize a lot of the work that's been done by both by him and by the people in his Collège de France seminar to come up with a sort of synthetic overview of this. The three lectures that we have talking about the emergence of this question he here calls biohistory, of how we might look at the individual and the level of life itself as the object of analysis of these kinds of processes. And then he continues about how, here in Rio, he's very explicit about this relation, about how capitalism is connected to these kinds of questions. So that the second part of that first quote, for capitalist society, it was the biopolitics, the biological, the somatic, the corporeal, which mattered more than anything else. The body is a biopolitical reality. Medicine is a biopolitical strategy. And then this point about the body in singular and the body in plural. The medicine that's formed in the course of the 18th century is simultaneously a medicine of the individual and of the population. It's both clinical medicine and public health that gets developed out of this material. So these lectures, these Rio lectures in 1974, I think drawing on this work that's done in the Collège de France seminar, but also connected to this work done with Guattari's team, the CERFI team. The last thing I want to talk about is Foucault's activist work around these kinds of questions and themes. Now, people that are interested in Foucault for a long time have talked about Foucault's involvement with the Prison Information Group. This was a group that Foucault set up in early 1971. He wrote many of their texts. He was actively involved in facilitating, organising, and actually getting very involved in meeting with prisoners' families, press conferences, protests, and so on. And the documentary traces for this have been compiled first in this Archives of a Struggle collection, which brings together the texts, reproduces a number of documents, produces a very comprehensive study of what the material is. Not a complete one. There are still documents that are in the archive that are not in this book, but a very comprehensive sampling of that material. And then in the book that came out just a couple of years ago that collects the series of pamphlets that that group produced. These were called the Intolerable series of pamphlets, the idea of saying that these things in society are intolerable. We're going to launch inquiries into them to try and raise awareness, to try and change things. And the series of pamphlets they produced were on inquiries into prisons, which basically reproduced a number of questionnaires from prisoners and their families about what conditions were like in French prisons, an inquiry into a new model prison that had been created in France, an inquiry into suicides in prisons, a list of publishing prisoner demands from a number of prison riots that happened in France in the 1971-72 period, and an inquiry into the assassination of George Jackson from the Black Panther Party in the United States that Jean Genet was the main person that had coordinated. And that second collection collects all of these together, and there's quite a literature on the Prison Information Group in English. What's much less known is Foucault's involvement with the Health Information Group, which was set up a little later, in 1972. Foucault didn't have so much involvement with this. He certainly wasn't the key person running it, as he was, I think, with the Prison Information Group. But Foucault did have an involvement in this group, and I think there's some important things here that connect to some of the academic work that he was doing. So a story that I try and tell in the book about this material. So it was a group that was formed on the model of the Prison Information Group, and there were a number of other groups formed on that model. There was an Asylum Information Group, for example, that Foucault apparently went to one meeting, decided it was so shambolic that he could have nothing to do with it. But there are slightly more connections between this, and a number of these groups published in their own, in each other's publications, in the newsletters, the pamphlets, and so on that they produced. So the Health Information Group was interested in a number of issues. Industrial medicine, the health of immigrant groups, the abortion campaign, and I'll say much more about that in a moment, the question of medical power, so that the privileged power that a doctor has over a patient in that relationship, involvement in a lot of industrial workplace compensation kind of claims, about lead poisoning in a car battery factory, silicosis in miners, and they used doctors and others that were involved in this to try and lend medical expertise to workers' groups that were trying to challenge some of the ways in which medicine was being practiced. Also a campaign against for the use of non-trademarked drugs, so what we now call a campaign against Big Pharma. Now, in this journal, La Nef, there was a text that Foucault and others from the Health Information Group produced called Medicine and Class Struggle. And for reasons that escape me, this is not collected in the French Dia Crise. It's quite a difficult text to find. But it's an interesting one about talking about how medicine should be seen as part of a wider class struggle. And they're making these claims. This text is produced out of a discussion with a number of people. Then the names of who said each individual bit are obscured in the text, so it reads more like a manifesto. So you can't tell who actually said which bits and how much engineering was done to the text afterwards. But the only person who is named in this is Foucault. And I suspect part of the reason is that a number of the other people were practicing physicians, doctors, who didn't want their names necessarily associated with the text. And they talk about a number of claims in there about how they want to transform the way that we understand medicine in society. We want to think about the way that medicine connects to these wider questions of fundamental human goods, questions of class struggle, and that they say that they have chosen to engage in that struggle. And in a text that's published in a later report, but I found the original handwritten text in the EMEC archive, is trying to challenge the way the health system was working within France, opening up information, correcting misleading information, struggling against what they say a false propaganda that confuses an increase in medical consumption with an improvement in health conditions. This idea that you can't simply medicate problems and that this means that health is being achieved or health is being improved by that. And that this is a broad struggle which may take multiple forms at multiple times. The key campaign that Foucault had a role in, and that I'll be the last thing really I talk about, is the abortion rights struggle in France. Now, in 1971, so this is before the Health Information Group was set up, and what this is important, because I don't want to suggest that the Health Information Group was the main player in this struggle within France, but it was a actor in this. It was an important actor, and Foucault, I think, had a significant role in it, but it clearly wasn't the only part of this picture. The French newspaper, Le Nouvel Observateur, had a manifesto signed by 343 women in 1971 who said, "We have had abortions." This is illegal in France at the time, but we will lend our names to this to say, this is something that has happened and this is something that we are not afraid to put our names to. And a number of famous women were in this, Simone de Beauvoir, Catherine Deneuve, Marguerite Duras, and the lawyer Gisèle Halimi, and a number of other figures within French society, from the well-known to the less-known, had signed this. And the immediate reaction was both that this was illegal, but you also had things like Charlie Hebdo, which now has this sort of somewhat sainted reputation, who said, who knocked up the 343 slags or sluts of the manifesto for abortion? And Michel Debré, the French Prime Minister, is supposedly saying, oh, well, it was for France, you know, it was for the good of France, lie back and think of France kind of idea. So you have this kind of critique, even from the satirical oppositional thing to this idea of this manifesto. Now, the GIS then coordinated something that this seems to have had much more of an immediate effect, which was a letter that was signed by a number of doctors saying that they had conducted abortions and that they would actually put their name to this. This comes out in early 1973. Now, there'd been an earlier declaration, again in Le Nouvel Observateur, by doctors who said that they were in favour of abortion, but this is somewhat different. They are saying that they had illegally conducted abortions within France. And so this helped to get this back onto the news. This was mentioned in the French election campaign of 1973. Foucault alludes to this in the Punitive Society course, talking about the particular context in which this letter was produced. But it was coordinated by the Health Information Group, and it called for contraception and abortion to be available and to be reimbursed by Social Security, to be freely available and freely freely available as in allowed, but also freely available as in no cost to the woman in that case. Now, they also produced around the same time as this a anonymous pamphlet which was called Oui, nous avortons, Yes, we abort, or Yes, we conduct abortions. And this was a pamphlet that had, and it's hard to find copies of today, but it's an interesting text that has a range of different sort of genres of writing in there to try and reconstruct a case about this. Statements and testimonies from women, images, a photo story, cartoons, but most importantly, I think, a lot of information. A lot of information about the aspiration technique of abortion, but also a lot of information of clinics close to France, but outside the borders of France, that women could go to travel to have an abortion done if they couldn't get it done within France. And the idea was of opening up information, of making this widely available, of making this something that women could find possible for them to have safe abortions without the risks of having the kind of backstreet abortions that were often being used at this time. Now, this anonymous pamphlet was billed as a special bulletin of the GIS, but there were no named authors to it. But in late 1973, Foucault and two doctors, Alain Landau and Jean-Yves Petit, were prosecuted for the publication of this manifesto. And the claim was that because they had been seen at health information group meetings, they must have had some involvement in the production of this text. Now, if you read the text, it's written often in the collective voice of women rather than of men. And it's interesting that it was three men that were prosecuted rather than women. But what Foucault and these two doctors did was to say, sure, yeah, prosecute us. Now, I think that they are doing this really as a means of protection of the real people that were responsible for the authoring of this text, rather than that Foucault was sitting there and writing these very precise descriptions of procedure, or whether that Foucault had facilitated the testimonies of women who had had abortions and so on. But Foucault wrote a text, in Le Nouvel Observateur, which was talking about the aim of this publication and saying, if you want to prosecute people, we'll take the blame for this, we'll accept responsibility for this. This is all part of a wider set of issues with a number of groups involved in this anti-abortion, or rather abortion rights struggle at the time. And in 1975, the Veil Law allowed limited access to abortion on the say of two doctors. Of course, for the GIS, this was still allowing too much power to the medical profession, but at least it was a stage towards allowing the free available access to abortion. So Foucault is a small part player within a group which was part of a wider set of groups in relation to abortion. But it's a story that I don't think has been told about Foucault and his involvement with this. And there's a connection of this to a later part of the Foucault story that I'll mention right at the end. Two other things that Foucault did around this same time that I think are interesting is when he made public pronouncements again to try and support people who are being prosecuted under obscene publications laws in these instances. One was that a doctor who'd been involved in the health information group, Jean Carpentier, had been prosecuted for circulating a text on safe sex, sex education basically, outside of schools. And Foucault stood up again in a press conference to try and lend support to this doctor who he knew for the circulation of this material. The other one was that the Recherche Journal out of Qatari's group was prosecuted for an issue that they had produced. This was an issue that was called 3 Billion Perverts, the Grand Encyclopedia of Homosexuality. Now, if you read the safe sex education text today, you kind of think, what was the fuss about? I mean, it's mild in terms of the things. If you read the Recherche Journal on Homosexuality, you kind of see why this might have been prosecuted. It's incredibly graphic, both visually and in the text about various types of practices and so on. But what's interesting about those two cases, and Ken Foucault taking this particular political aim, is it's one of the first times that Foucault explicitly talks about the question of sexuality and the connection of medical knowledge to the question of sexuality, which then, of course, becomes a major theme in his work from 1974 onwards. But in those moments, it's that politics, medicine, sexuality intersection that Foucault's involved with. Okay, conclusion. I'm just going to say very, very little about some of the future collaborations that Foucault did after this period. We know relatively little about what happened in Foucault's Collège de France seminars from about 1975 onwards. By 1980, he'd got so frustrated with the Collège de France, he moved to having entirely lecture courses and no seminar there. But in a number of other places, he did try and conduct seminars alongside lectures that he gave. This text was published in 1988, but it derives from Foucault's visit to the University of Vermont in 1982. And there's a number of texts that were first presented in a seminar that Foucault ran alongside a lecture course on technologies of the self in antiquity in that volume. There was, alongside the wrongdoing truth-telling lecture course that Foucault gave in Louvain in 1981, he also ran a seminar which was on the genealogy of social defence in Belgium. It was the idea of social protection, of protection of society against dangerous elements within it. And that text is very hard again to find today, but it is. It doesn't have any Foucault in it, but it derives from a seminar that Foucault ran in parallel to those lectures in Lausanne in 1981, edited by François Tulkin, who was the law professor who'd invited him there. And perhaps the most frustrating in terms of what was attempted but was not actually achieved was what Foucault was doing with this group in Berkeley in 1983. This is a picture that comes from Didier Erebon's biography of Foucault. I've actually spoken to nearly everybody in that photo who's still alive about what they were doing with Foucault at that time. This was taken the last evening that Foucault was in Berkeley in November 1983. They had a dinner and they gave him that rather fetching cowboy hat as a parting gift. One of the people in that picture actually gave me a much better picture, which was taken a moment later, which is where David Horners, who took the first picture, is swapped out with Keith Gandel to that picture. Now, the people in that picture have interesting stories, because Foucault had intended, when he made his repeat visits to Berkeley from 1983 onwards, there was a plan he would return in the autumn of 1984, but of course he was dead before this happened, was that Foucault and people in this group were going to work on techniques of government in the early 20th century, the First World War and the interwar period. And the idea was that they were going to do a comparative study between four countries. Foucault was going to do France, David Horn was going to do Italy, Keith Gandel was going to do the United States, and Stephen Kotkin was going to do the USSR. Now, what happened, of course, is that Foucault's part never got written, but all of the other parts did get written as separate books by Gandel, Kotkin, and Horn, which have been available for many years. There's a book called Magnetic Mountain on Stalinism as a Civilization, which looks at the USSR. There's Keith Gandel's book on US or American novelists in relation to the Great War and Interwar period. And there's David Horn's book, Social Bodies, which looks at this period in Italy. And all of those books and the acknowledgements have very fulsome praise of how Foucault's discussions in the seminars had initiated the work that they all went and did after Foucault's death, that was initiated in those discussions. And one of the other people in that picture, Jonathan Simon, who's standing between David Horn, who's in the checked shirt, and Arturo Escobar, who actually looks exactly the same as he does in this picture, and still today. But Jonathan Simon had a discussion with Foucault that was recorded and was sat in the Berkeley archive for 30-odd years, which is a discussion about the notion of dangerousness. So they start with Foucault's text on the concept of the dangerous individual and moves on to a comparative discussion about crime and the legal system and the notion of rights within the US and within France. Now, I found this, I talked to Jonathan about this, and so we've transcribed this, and it's going to come out in Theory, Culture and Society, hopefully later this year. But it's a very interesting discussion, and it was initially transcribed at the time that the interview was, or the discussion was made, and Socialist Register, Socialist Review rejected it because they said we have to bill this as Foucault interviews Simon. Simon talks too much. And now Jonathan Simon is an incredibly distinguished law professor who's written extensively on mass incarceration within the US system and the legal codes and so on. And I think it's a very interesting discussion because of this relation between the two systems that they're analysing and so on. And in the afterword that I asked Jonathan to write to go with this, he says various things about why he was speaking so much, which was largely to do with the amount of cocaine he'd ingested at lunchtime. But the other thing that he says is, what you really get in this is not me interviewing Foucault, but Foucault supervising me. And so you get this insight into how Foucault was facilitating and enabling a very, at the time, young man's research and indulging his interests and his passions around these things. And I think it gives a different sense of how Foucault worked in this collaborative way with students, with other people in the Collège de France seminar and so on. The last thing that I'll end with is when I talked to Daniel Defer about some of these questions, I asked him about the health information group, and he said that when he set up the AIDS charity in France after Foucault's death, which was the first real group to work on the AIDS epidemic, and the French title, AIDES, which is French for assistance, but is also clearly a homonym of the English AIDS. In French, AIDS is SIDA, S-I-D-A, but it has this homonym to the English notion of it. And Defer said, who were the first people that I contacted to set up this group about the AIDS epidemic? And it was the doctors that he and Foucault had worked with in the health information group 10 years before. So there's this nice connection in the sense of the Foucault's legacy continues through this group that Defer set up after that time. Okay, I'll stop there. Thank you.